welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, Campus Life Pastor at our Lewis Center campus. This past Sunday, we continued in our series Taboo, where we're talking about how we need to deal with these current controversies with timeless truth. And that what our big idea in this series is that as we're looking at these current controversies, we're saying that we follow the hard lines of biblical truth instead of the headlines of cultural trends. And the one we looked at this past week comes from Joshua chapter 6, really dealing about violence. And we looked at the story of the Battle of Jericho. If you think back to the story, if you're familiar, God had called the Israelites to come out of Egypt. They were supposed to go into the promised land that God had prepared for them, but they struggled. They had a lack of faith, and it took, that generation had to die out. It took 40 years of them wandering the wilderness before God chose Joshua to lead them in to their promised land. Now, that promised land meant that God had promised them a land that was flowing with milk and honey and had everything they needed, but God wanted to clear out the land and prepare a place for his people. But to do that, he was using Israel to kind of clear out the land. And the first battle that came about was the one in Jericho. So he brings them up against a walled fortress of a city. It is completely protected with two double walls. If you do any research on Jericho, it's just a massive structure, and they had no ability to really go in and do anything about it. They weren't a warring nation. They didn't have a lot of military background. These were shepherds and goat herders, and I mean, this is what they did. But God brings them up against Jericho, and God's plan to take out Jericho was different than any probable military plan. But he told him, I want you to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around it seven times, and then have the priests blow the horns, and they're going to shout, and then you'll see God is going to bring about victory. And here's where it comes up in chapter 6. It says, they did exactly what God told them to do, and the walls fell. It says, so this is verse 20 of chapter 6. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. And they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. Now, it sounds like, when you read right past it, it's an incredible victory for the people of God. And yet, you read that verse, and it stands out like a sore thumb, that, wow, they took out the entire city, all the living things in the city. They devoted to the Lord, it says, which means they destroyed the enemy of God. And I think our current trend is this is offensive to us. People in our culture, we hear about this kind of violence and we immediately think, man, what kind of a God would allow this? How can you let this be? And it's difficult, specifically for our generation where, we would look at this and say, this is not okay. And I think it's really, if you cherry pick that verse and take it out of context, and not see it from a biblical worldview or the hard lines of biblical truth, it's easy to be offended by it. I think then, okay, what are we to do? Well, we read scripture in context. We look at how the history of what's playing out and what God was doing, that God told Abraham way back that he was preparing a place, but the time of the Amalekites, their sin had not reached full yet, meaning he actually had, he was giving them time to repent, but they didn't. He brought in the people of Israel, and the people of Israel, went down to Egypt for 400 years. And these nations up there, they continued to have just incredible idolatry, some of which was so offensive that it's difficult for me to even talk about. But we're talking about sacrificing babies and worse than that. I mean, it's just a terrible, generations of people and people groups up there. And what God was doing is he was giving them time so that they would repent. And that when the God of of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought the people of Israel up out of Egypt, the people of Jericho had heard about it. And only Rahab and her family turned and wanted to be identified with God. And so when you see that happen, what you see in all of the history is that God was bringing about judgment on these people who were literally killing babies. They were burning them to Molech. And I think he had enough. Enough's enough, that he was no longer going to hear the cries. And when you see that in this passage, you realize that God spared Rahab, and he would have spared every one of them if they had turned to him. And yet he was bringing about justice at the same time that the great merciful heart was still there. The justice of God was there. And he was bringing condemnation down on those people groups and bringing them out. The scripture calls it vomiting out those people groups out of the land. Why? Because their sin was so great, it was literally egregious to God. And he wanted to clear them out so that their sin and their idolatry wouldn't impact the people of Israel. Now, we know the rest of the story, that God is a God of mercy and justice, and he loves us, and he saved Rahab, and Rahab became part of the family line of God. But it's a message to all of us that his mercy is so extensive that he would offer that to his worst enemy. And yet, if we don't turn, then the justice of God will prevail. God, help us to anchor our hearts into the truth of your mercy and your grace. Help us to lean in and see that, you know, the things that we read aren't necessarily a prescription, but they're just a description of things that we see that happened at one time. And yet you're calling us to love our enemies the way that you do, and to be part of you, the extension of your grace and mercy to others. Lord, help us to embrace these hard lines of biblical truth and lean into the character of who you are, a merciful and gracious God. And Lord, we ask that you help us as we navigate these with other people, these questions that come up. And we ask that in your son's name, amen. Well, take a second before you move on, and just, I want you to think about the grace and mercy of God and how he extended it to you, even when you maybe were someone who wasn't paying attention to God, or even worse, right? Remember the grace and mercy of God, and that's how we govern our lives, based on the character of God. Till next time, God bless.